along to this week's assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and joining me again this week is Dan Charles, and we've got Tom McGarry stepping in to replace Mark Langdon, who's getting a well-deserved break as we look ahead to this weekend's Premier League and EFL action. How big an impact will the midweek European and Championship matches have, I wonder, on this weekend's fixtures, as we take a look at, of course, what is going to be significant across the divisions. And we'll start off with the big match of the week in the Premier League. And undoubtedly, it comes at 5:30 on Saturday evening at the Etihad, where Manchester City face Chelsea. As far as the prices are concerned, Manchester City evens to win this game. It's 12-5 Chelsea and 3-1 the draw. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. Can't start anywhere else other than that Manchester City capitulation again on Wednesday evening in the Champions League. Just when you think they're getting back to somewhere near their best, they go and do that.
Yeah, it just shows you there's still like a mental fragility there, doesn't it? I mean, we saw it at Brentford as well, didn't we? When, you know, when they were kind of playing well, got in a good position and ended up, you know, dropping 2 points there. I still think they'll probably get through this Champions League. You know, it's at least into the playoff round. I mean, they know they've just got to beat Bruges at home to make it, whatever happens with the other results. But no, I mean, going forward, it's when you all of a sudden you're not used to winning games regularly. Every time there seems to be a setback with them, you know, it seems to be a mental issue for them. And I would also suggest as well that they're just not that solid at the back anymore. I mean, you look at their, you know, in terms of people wondering if they're in a false position in the Premier League, but the false position is probably that they might even be a little bit too high, because their XG against, I think it's 8 more than the actual number of goals they've conceded. So they're just not that tight anymore defensively. I mean, the Rodri being out, you know, has been a massive impact, but surely shouldn't have impacted them as much as it has. But certainly they're a team that's that can be got at these days.
Yeah, Dan says, Tom, defensively, obviously, there are all sorts of problems for Pep Guardiola at the moment. I don't necessarily think he's doing himself much of a favour by chopping and changing goalkeepers either.
No, that doesn't help the situation, does it? You want a solid defensive base, and that includes the goalkeeper. So if you're swapping around and you're not 100% sure who your own first choice is, whether it's Edison or Ortega, then you know that can have a negative effect on the team in front of them. I thought City were really poor against PSG last night. They were fortunate with both of their goals to get two goals in front. But from there, how often have we seen over the years where City then go on and win the game comfortably? Their game management has in the past been really, really strong. But as soon as PSG started to apply the pressure, every time they came forward, they looked like scoring in that second half. So it's a concern for City because, you know, before that PSG game, there were signs in terms of results, at least, if not necessarily performances, that they were getting back to somewhere near what we're used to seeing them be. But yeah, it feels like a case of half a step forward for City and then one or two giant steps back.
Yeah, I mean, looking ahead to Saturday, Dan, I mean, they are 5 games unbeaten in the league, which will give them a bit of confidence, of course, going into this. And of course, off the back of that thumping of Ipswich last weekend. But I'd suggest that probably Chelsea are not the type of team that you want to be playing if you've got a bit of nerves at the back.
No, and it's a short turnaround physically as well. I thought it was quite a physically demanding game against PSG. And PSG, like the opposition, the way the opposition often approach games against City has changed now because of that sense of vulnerability. PSG were pressing them all over the pitch, really, weren't they, right from the start? And I think that's another. It's not just City being off it. I think the opposition are kind of sensing a little bit of blood now and really going for City, and that's making it even harder for them. I think Chelsea, I mean, before that win against Wolves, they had quite a poor run, actually, didn't they? They had a good run of fixtures, which they didn't take advantage of. They're not really in the title race anymore, but they're still, you know, at the start of the season, if you'd have said to Chelsea, you know, can you, you know, win a cup? I mean, they're hot favourites for the Conference League, and getting back into that Champions League, they'd have taken that, and they're well placed to do that.
Yeah, in terms of Chelsea, they're clearly not the team that they were a month or two ago, Tom, I think it's fair to say. And it was probably always going to be that little drop-off at some stage because consistency has been an issue over the last few seasons.
It has, and they are such a young team, aren't they, as well? I mean, at least for Enzo Maresca's point of view, he's been proved slightly right because he was saying all along they're not in the title race, and now some poor results, and he's been proven correct. they got back to winning ways, didn't they, against Wolves on Monday? But for me, it's a poor Wolves side, and it wasn't a fantastic Chelsea performance. They got over the line. They got the job done. It's moved them back above City into the top four ahead of what is a real battle for those places. And it sets up a Saturday evening's game really nicely.
Yeah, so let's have a look at what you two believe are the best bets in terms of this game on Saturday. Dan, we'll start with you. What's your pick?
Yeah, I mean, even before City's defeat against PSG, I thought Chelsea were a bit overpriced, fancied them to get something. That's the way I'm going to go. Chelsea will draw double chance. There has been a little bit of a shift in the prices. There are, you know, a bit more odds on now Chelsea to at least avoid defeat. But I fancy them to do that. I think that, you know, a bit like PSG, I'm sure they'll pick their moments and press City on plenty of occasions and look to kind of hit them on the break. They've got some real weapons, haven't they, going forward? The pace and the movement of Nicholas Jackson, Cole Palmer, you know, is a fantastic player, but, you know, might be even more motivated than normal, you know, against his former club. So I think Chelsea is certainly a work in progress. They've got a long way to go yet to be title challengers, but against City, as vulnerable as they are, and with a short turnaround as well, not just mentally the effect of that PSG defeat, but physically as well, I can see Chelsea picking up at least a point.
Yeah, it's not many times that you see Manchester City evens, Tom, at home, even against a team in the top six, but which way are you looking at it here?
Yeah, I've gone the other way, which probably says a lot about the inconsistencies of both these teams. It is difficult to pick out a result. I do think, and I take Dan's points about City being tired, how much would have been taken out of them from that game in Paris on Wednesday night. But I just think they were getting results in the build-up to that game, albeit against, you know, the likes of Ipswich and West Ham sides that aren't as strong as Chelsea. But I just think they should have enough to win what could be an entertaining game. I agree with Dan. I think Chelsea will definitely hurt City going forward. Both teams, for me, will get on the score sheets. We've seen some high-scoring games between these two sides in the past. There was a 4-4 at Stamford Bridge in the non-too-distant past. So, yeah, for me, I think it'll be an entertaining game. Not quite the high quality that we come to expect when these two meet. I think City will just about have enough to win it. They haven't lost to Chelsea since the 2021 Champions League final, so they've got a bit of a hoodoo over the West Londoners. So I've gone for City to win and both teams to score. Entertaining, but maybe not the highest of quality.
Okay, well, that is the match of the weekend in the Premier League. A 5:30 kickoff at the Etihad on Saturday for Manchester City against Chelsea. Time now to run through the rest of the Premier League matches, and we'll kick off with the five games that are at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And we'll start with a game at the Vitality Stadium where Bournemouth take on Nottingham Forest. Bournemouth 21-20, Forest 12-5, and the draw 27-10. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. Looking at this game beforehand, I thought it was a really difficult one to call. Bournemouth, of course, already taken the scalps of the likes of Manchester City and Arsenal at home this season. Forest, though, just full of confidence going into this.
Yeah, I mean, this is arguably the game of the weekend, isn't it? These two sides in absolutely fabulous form. Bournemouth were superb last weekend. I mean, who scores four goals away at Newcastle at the best of times? Never mind when Newcastle were absolutely flying before that. And Bournemouth were able to do that without a recognised centre-forward, certainly an experienced one with Unal and Evan Nilsson both out. So they're in fabulous form. But so are Forest, unbeaten in 9 in all competitions, 8 wins during that time. Only the draw with Liverpool, the only time they haven't won during that period. Forest, they've got the second best away record in the Premier League. It is really, really difficult to call, isn't it? I was looking at the both teams to score. Both sides, I think, have enough about them to get on the score sheet. I've just edged towards Forest. There's a bit more value in them picking up another 3 points on the road. I just feel, you know, with the counter-attacking threat that they have, the Anthony Elangas, Callum Hudson-Odoi, if he's fit, their pace out wide, Morgan Gibbs-White pulling the strings, and then Chris Wood, who I was kind of writing off slightly maybe a month or so ago. I thought he'd had a fantastic start to the season. Maybe after a couple of games without scoring, he was beginning to tail off, but he's returned to goal scoring form. He's a fabulous focal point and a real key part of that counter-attacking. So for me, I think Forest, maybe that's where the value lies.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, Dan. I just wonder whether Forest's stubborn back line gives them the slight edge here.
Yeah, I think Forest are quite a big price here, actually. I've got loads of respect for Bournemouth. I think, you know, the job that Andoni Iraola is doing there is probably, you could argue, is the best in the Premier League at the moment. You know, the style of football they play, you know, huge amount of injuries as well. A lot of clubs in the league that are having a lot of injuries and using as excuses for poor form. But that Bournemouth have got, you know, double figures and they're still performing. Incredible result, I thought that was at Newcastle with the form, as Tom's mentioned, that they've been in. I would say, though, two of the goals were in injury time. Maybe the scoreline's a little bit on the flattering side. And Tom mentioned that Forest away record. They've got more points away than at home. I think Nuno's sides often are set up, you know, quite defensively solid and counter-attack. Yeah. They're quite suited to playing away from home. And, you know, they're you know, around about 6-4, maybe a little bit less, draw no bet in a game that, you know, quite tight. But that seems a big price to me. And I'd suggest if the game's tight, it could go down to the benches. That Bournemouth bench at Newcastle look very threadbare to me. Forest are going to have a lot more options on their bench. So Forest to win a tight game.
Not sure that many people would have tipped Chris Wood and Justin Kluivert to be near the top of the goal-scoring list at this stage of the season, but those two certainly in form going into Saturday's game. Another of the 3 o'clock kickoffs is at the Amex Stadium, where Brighton take on Everton. Brighton 4-6, Everton 9-2, and it's 11-4 the draw. Big boost for David Moyes last week with that win over Tottenham down, and they now head to a Brighton team who are, well, at the moment, slightly unpredictable, I'd suggest.
Yeah, we were kind of a bit down on. I was a bit down on Brighton, weren't I, last week, and then they've gone and won at Ipswich, and you know, the 2-2, and then the fantastic win at Manchester United, who had actually been turning the corner a little bit before that game. One thing I'd say about Brighton, though, whenever they play teams at home that you'd expect them to beat, they often don't get the job done. I'm looking at their, you know, no win at four at home. You include in that 3-1 loss to Crystal Palace, 1-1 against Southampton, 0-0 against Brentford. I'll just be a little bit cautious about, you know, piling into them at odds on in a game against Everton. I know Spurs had a lot of problems last week, but to get the first win under David Moyes, it was a decent performance, pretty comfortable for large parts of the game there. And they're quite capable, Everton, of going and kind of frustrating teams when they go away from home and getting a result, as we saw when they got a 0-0 draw at Arsenal, didn't they, not that long ago. So I can see the draw being a big runner here. You mentioned the price for the draw, 11-4. That's where I'll go with this one.
Well, no, it was a big win in terms of a much-needed 3 points, Tom, for Everton last week, but I think even more so, a much-needed 3 goals.
Yeah, absolutely. We know where Everton's troubles have been lying this season. They don't score enough goals, but Ndai was really good again. He's been one of the bright sparks for them in the campaign. And perhaps more importantly, Dominic Calvert-Lewin getting back on the score sheet. That will do his confidence the world of good. I'm similar to Dan. I've looked at the Everton double chance, either the away win or the draw. I mean, it's odds against. I think there's really good value in that. As Dan mentioned, Brighton are better when they're playing the better teams, when they're the underdogs, whether that's counter-attacking or just, you know, suits their style. They struggle when they're the favourites and teams playing a low block, which I think Everton will do. David Moyes isn't ripping up the script completely from what Sean Dyche was doing previously. So I think it will be pragmatism from Everton, certainly to start with, in this game. They've got a decent record at the Amex as well and beaten on their last 4 visits. That includes a 5-1 victory a couple of seasons ago, where Calvert-Lewin, I think, was particularly impressive. So, yeah, for me, Everton can get something from this game. Brighton, consistently inconsistent. So, yeah, I'd edge with the Toffees.
Well, as often is the case, when Everton are away from home, Liverpool are at home, and at Anfield at 3 o'clock, they'll play host to Ipswich. The league leaders are 9-1 on to claim the victory. It's as big as 14-1 for Ipswich to claim the 3 points, and 11-1 the draw. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. I mean, on paper, it looks like a home win. Can you make any case for Ipswich?
Yeah, it's hard really to back anything other than Liverpool getting the 3 points. Ipswich, you know, they were okay, weren't they, in the opening 25 minutes or so against Manchester City last weekend. Carved out a couple of opportunities, but they capitulated really after conceding the opening goal, waved the white flag, which is one of the few times we've seen that from Kieran McKenna's team this season. They usually battle, they're usually in games. They are better away from home than they are at home. They pick up more points on their travels. Decent results. They've won at Spurs. They've won at Wolves. They've got a decent point against Fulham recently as well. So I think they'll put in a more spirited display. Liverpool are not at their free-flowing best, are they? They're grinding out results both domestically and in Europe. We saw that against Lille during the week where they made hard work of things. So Liverpool will win this. I'm not envisaging the shock of the season or anything like that. But I think Ipswich will learn from the mistakes they made against City last weekend, and they'll keep it a lot tighter than that. It was 2-0 when they met at Portman Road, these two sides, on the opening weekend of the season. So something similar, perhaps. I've gone with Liverpool and under 3.5 goals. That's an odds against price, so it gives you a bit of value. Yeah, I'd steer clear of anything other than Liverpool victory, but yeah, I think maybe low scoring.
Dan, I've seen this week that Liam Delap's been linked with the likes of Chelsea and Tottenham, and it's the last thing that probably Kieran McKenna wants is that he's leading shining light up front has been linked with a potential January or if not summer move when you're trying to concentrate on staying up.
Yeah, I'd be amazed if Ipswich sold him in January, I've got to be honest. I mean, they've got a really good chance of staying up. And you know, once you get past that, you know, really bad result I had last week, at the end of the day, after this weekend, you've got both games against Liverpool and City, the toughest fixtures of the season, out of the way. They're going into this weekend, their only goal difference inside the relegation zone. I think if you'd offered them that at the start of the season, they'd be, you know, they'd say that's okay. You know, they're not that badly placed for me. As Tom mentioned, it's not often that they cave in the way they did last weekend. I do think I'm on similar lines there. I think they'll tighten up, and Liverpool don't often destroy teams anymore at home. They've got 20 Premier League home goals in 10 games. They've not scored more than three in any home game this season. So I'm going very similar lines to Tom. I'm just going to play it a little bit safer. Liverpool and under 4.5 goals, shade of odds on. So that's the way I would play it.
OK, up next, it's a trip to St Mary's for Southampton against Newcastle. If we'd asked you 7 or 8 days ago, Dan, about this game, you would have almost certainly gone above 2.5 goals, Newcastle win. But obviously that was a bit of a shock to the system last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle went into the game in great form, didn't they? It was a kind of a ding-dong game, wasn't it? Mm. They both went at each other, and it sounds crazy when they've lost 4-1, but they could have easily won the game as well. They've missed quite a few chances, conceded 2 goals in injury time when they're, you know, leaving themselves open. So I think they're going to look at that Newcastle and just say, draw a line under it and let's go again here. And what an ideal game, really, to get back on track, you know, away to Southampton, who are in a real bad state. What I would say with Southampton, there's been just a few little glimmers. I thought, for 80 minutes at Manchester United, there was a very good performance there. The Nottingham Forest, they weren't so great, but it's 3 days after, you know, it's quite a short turnaround. So I do think the manager there is going to be, there have been a few signs that in certain games that he's tightening them up a little bit. And that's where I'm going to go with this one. I think Newcastle will just be happy to get back on track with any kind of win. Southampton are going to be looking to tighten up. So I'm going to go and say Newcastle to win and under 3.5 goals. Looks quite a big price to me.
Yeah. Tom, I was looking last week and heard a stat that said that Isak was only 3 goals away from levelling Jamie Vardy's run of 11 straight games and 11 goals. And I thought, oh, next 2 games, Bournemouth at home, Southampton away. And of course, that run came to an end last week, but he'll probably be licking his lips at the prospects of facing Southampton's leaky defence.
Yeah, he's got to fancy his chances of returning to scoring ways and continuing that fabulous season. He's only behind, isn't he, Erling Haaland and Mo Salah in the Premier League scoring charts, 15 goals. So yeah, this is an ideal game for someone like him to step up and at least get one, maybe be thinking about 2 or 3. I'm on similar lines to Dan. Newcastle will win this, definitely. That's almost, without being disrespectful to Southampton, you'd feel that goes without saying almost. Southampton, their main battle for me is ensuring that they beat Derby's record low points total in the Premier League era, which stands at 11. But I think Newcastle, they've won the last 4 in a row away from home in all competitions, scoring at least 2 goals in each of those. I expect that run to continue. You know, Southampton, there were signs of improvement, certainly against Manchester United, as Dan mentioned, and they came back, albeit too late, against Nottingham Forest. But just feel it's going to be really difficult for Ivan Juric to get any kind of tune out of his side on a regular basis. So I've gone for Newcastle -1 handicap. I think they can win this one by a couple of goals and get back to winning ways.
Well, the size of the task highlighted for Southampton by the fact they're 6-1 to win the game on Saturday. Newcastle 2-5 and the draw 17-4. The fifth and final game of the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday takes place at Molineux. Wolves against Arsenal. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. I don't know what to make of Wolves recently. I think Vitor Pereira, obviously some good signs to start off with, but he appears to be rubbing up some of the key players the wrong way. I mean, he said this week that the body language hasn't been great for Matheus Cunha. Whether that's true or not, they're going to need him, you'd think, to stay up.
Yeah, absolutely. And, he's kind of said that Mario Lemina wants to leave the club as well, washed his hands of what was the club captain at the start of the season, wasn't it? So, I am concerned for Wolves. They had that initial uplift when Pereira came in, a couple of decent victories, but they've lost their last three Premier League games, conceding three goals in all of those. And, they were poor against Chelsea on Monday night. I mentioned earlier on, I didn't think Chelsea were that good, but they still won pretty comfortably in the end. And I think it'll be a similar story when Arsenal head to Molineux. They've lost their last seven games against the Gunners. Arsenal will be desperate to respond from the disappointment of drawing with Aston Villa in their last league game. They did that somewhat against Dinamo Zagreb in the Champions League during the week. A no-frills 3-0 victory, which, if you've not seen the highlights of that, I wouldn't be desperately hunting them out. It was pretty comfortable for Arsenal. And it could be something similar in this game. I've gone with the same bet I've gone with Newcastle. Arsenal to win and the -1 handicap. I think they can pick a score, at least a couple of goals, maybe three. And if there's problems with Cunha and the likes for Wolves, if it's not a happy camp, I can't see them offering too much. I think this could be a comfortable Arsenal victory.
Wolves are 11-2 to claim the win, by the way. 7-2 the draw, 9-20 Arsenal. I was going to mention the word toothless, Dan, which I think is probably a bit harsh in terms of Arsenal going forward a little bit at the moment. Yes, they're off the mark goal-scoring-wise, but a little bit like you alluded to with Newcastle, this looks like almost a perfect fixture for Arsenal.
Possibly. I'm actually going to go with a draw here. Every team misses their big players, no matter who you are. Mm. Saliba out for Arsenal is a massive loss. Saka out, since he's been out the side, they do not look the same team for me. One win in the last five domestic games. I didn't even think they were that great in the 2-1 win against Spurs. And they made really heavy weather of that against an injury hit and dispirited Spurs side. And the Villa game, I tipped a draw for that game, didn't I, last week? I'm not surprised that ended in a draw. And I think Wolves, the two home performances, it's a while back now, the Boxing Day against Man United, where they won 2-0, that was very good. The Forest game I watched, they were loaded us 3-0. They actually played at quite a tempo and created quite a bit. They didn't play anywhere near as bad as the score suggested in that game. Chelsea away, they're competitive for an hour, weren't they? And then conceded two quick goals. I would give them a chance here. If they turn up and play at a tempo like they have the last two home games, Arsenal missing big players, 7-2 looks big enough to me for the draw.
Just a quick one down off the back of that. If it is a draw for Arsenal, another drop points, are we looking at the gap being too far then?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think their title chances probably went when Saka got the long term injury. They don't look like they're going to be. Most games that they play, they're not really putting teams away, and that's a recipe for dropping points. So I think it's Liverpool's title to lose, definitely.
Okay, well, that is Saturday's action wrapped up. We'll turn our attention to a busy Sunday now because there are four games in total. Two kick off at 2 p.m. and we'll start off with a game at Selhurst Park where Crystal Palace play host to Brentford. Palace 21-20, the draw 11-4 and Brentford 23-10. Dan, we'll start with you with this. Palace seem to have found their footing now and seem to have found a bit of a rhythm.
Yeah, they've finished last season well, didn't they? Started this season poorly and were getting sucked into a relegation battle, and now they're up to sort of comfortable mid-table position. I think, you know, certain things, Eze coming back to fitness, they had a few injuries, didn't they, earlier in the season. He was a big one as well, coming back and pulling the strings there for them. Ismail Assad, that took a while to sort of grow into the season, he's really, you know, looking good now. Mateta started scoring, so there's, you know, lots of things contributing and probably a boost in confidence when the results improve. But I just think with this one, a lot of people are probably going to want to back Palace because of their form and Brentford being having a bad away record. But I can see a tight game here. And one of the main reasons for Brentford's bad away record is that they've played a lot of the big teams away. They've played away to the likes of Liverpool, City, Villa, Chelsea. So you can expect them, I think, to pick more away points up in the second half of the season. Both teams tend to like to counter-attack. I mean, I think that could lead to them kind of cancelling each other out. And they don't, in terms of goal scoring, Palace don't score many at home. They've scored 10 at home. Brentford have only scored 11 away. Five of them were in that 5-0 at Southampton. So they don't score many away, Brentford. That, you know, all that together leads to a low scoring game for me. Low, under 2.5 goals is odds against, 11 to 10 for, you know, what I think is going to be a tight London derby. That may be worth backing.
We mentioned the word unpredictable at least a couple of times already, Tom, with this. I think that probably sums up Brentford as well, who are capable of beating anybody on the day.
They are. I mean, you know, they're really good, usually at home, and can be poor away, as Dan's mentioned. They're a difficult side to predict. I just feel, you mentioned it, 21-20 Crystal Palace home win. I'm one of those people Dan alluded to that would be tempted by that, fancying, you know, Crystal Palace to pick up all 3 points. I think this is two sides trending in opposite directions. Palace, after their poor start, seem to have found their groove. They've kept faith with Oliver Glasner. I don't think internally, at least, there was ever any pressure on him when they made that poor start to the season. But externally, there were one or two questions starting to be asked. And yeah, I think they're looking upwards now. Whereas Brentford, they're not going to get dragged into a relegation battle. Don't get me wrong. I just think it's gone a little flat for them. They were knocked out of the FA Cup by Plymouth, weren't they? They're lower mid-table. Johan Viss has been linked with Nottingham Forest in the week. Brian Mbeumo continues to get linked with a move away. I'm not necessarily saying that either of those players will leave in January, but I just, there's this in danger this season, not petering out for Brentford, but it could be a difficult second half of the campaign. And I think Dan's right, it might be a low-scoring game, this one, but I think with home advantage and momentum on their side as well, Palace should have enough.
Well, both Brentford and Palace should take solace from the fact that at this stage of the season, they're above Man United, West Ham and Tottenham in the table. So I imagine going into this, they'll be pretty happy in terms of the fan base. The other 2 o'clock game on Sunday is the aforementioned Spurs at home to Leicester. Tottenham 9-20, the draw 17-4, and Leicester are also 17-4. Dan, I'm sure you'll have plenty to say on Postecoglou and Tottenham alike in a moment. We'll start with Tom, though, because, I mean, in theory, again, you know, we talk about teams and being hard to understand and hard to predict. Tottenham are probably top of that list, but you would think against the Leicester team with home advantage and Leicester low on confidence that they should be potentially winning this.
Yeah, they should be, shouldn't they? Leicester, 7 league defeats in a row. You know, pretty much the worst team in the Premier League at the moment. And I'd include Southampton in that, who's at least their performances have picked up in recent weeks. So Tottenham should win this. Normally, I'd be tipping them up. I'd be looking at the Spurs and both teams to score because Spurs still have, of course, all those defensive issues. They're away as well in Germany at Hoffenheim in the Europa League on Thursday evening. But I've steered clear of backing Spurs. I can't do that with any confidence. I've been burned too many times over the course of this season. I'm looking more at the over 3.5 goals market where there is a bit of value. Spurs not scoring as much recently, are they? But they still have plenty of attacking talent and they should be able to cut through a Leicester defence on at least a couple of occasions. But as I've mentioned, Spurs still very suspect at the back, very light on numbers. It doesn't look like Romero or Van de Venne are coming back for this game or in the imminent future. So I fancy Leicester to get on the score sheet as well. They've scored in the last two away games against good teams, Liverpool and Aston Villa. So, yeah, I think there's scope for at least 4 goals in this game. You know, you can throw that in with a Spurs victory if you like, but I'm not tempted to go with that. I'm sticking with just the over 3.5 goals.
Dan, we'll talk more about your best bet for this game in a moment, but I wanted to touch on Ange Postecoglou because we keep saying this every week, but the pressure is mounting. What have you made particularly of how he's reacted in certain interviews and certain questions recently?
Yeah, I don't think he's clearly been quite spiky, isn't he, in a lot of them. And you know, he's not come across particularly well, if I'm being honest, in a lot of these interviews. But, that's happened. You go down the years, lots of big managers at big clubs, if they're on a bad run, you remember sort of Klopp that after the game at Brighton, I'm thinking as well. It does happen. But, from Daniel Levy's point of view and Spurs fans, they're just going to be looking more at, what's happening on the pitch. In terms of whether you replace him or not, now, I'm kind of the opinion, might as well leave it for the moment because it all depends on what your succession plan is, who you're going to get in. It's normally the better managers, you'll have a far better chance of getting a decent replacement in the summer than you are right now in the middle of a season. Spurs are still involved in three cup competitions as well, so you need to consider that. That's an upside to things. The performance against Liverpool in the first leg of the League Cup was an outlier. They actually played really well and deserved to win that game. But this one, I think how you approach this game, for me, it depends on what you think is going to happen against Hoffenheim because Spurs just desperately need some kind of lift at the moment. And the Hoffenheim game, I've done this game for the paper, and Hoffenheim are in as bad a state, injury-wise and form-wise, as Spurs are. And I actually fancy Spurs to win. So if you think they're going to win against Hoffenheim, that'll be a big boost, I think, going into the Leicester game morale-wise. They'll have a couple of players back that are ineligible for Europe. Jed Spencer's been playing really well. Kinski, the goalkeeper, who's looked pretty good. However, I don't see them keeping a clean sheet. They just don't keep many clean sheets. So that feeds into my tip. Leicester, as Thomas mentioned, have lost 7 games in a row. Arguably, even though they've got more points than Southampton, could be the worst team in the Premier League. But I do think they'll score. Going to go with Spurs and both teams to score odds against.
OK, well, let's turn our attentions now to the 4:30 game on Sunday. And that is the game at Villa Park. Aston Villa against West Ham. Villa 11-20. The draw 16-5 and it's 19-4 West Ham. I think most of us, Dan, were probably surprised to see Villa slip up in the way that they did against Monaco in the Champions League in midweek, especially off the back of that comeback against Arsenal. Where are Villa at and are they going to be the ones to beat here?
They're not their best, are they, at the moment, Villa? They have had a bit better form in recent Premier League games. I'm beaten in 4 Premier League games. I think they're home form in all competitions now. They've won 4 and drawn 1 in their last 5 games. So there are signs, certainly at Villa Park, that they're starting to do a bit better. They didn't play well, funny enough, against West Ham in a cup game. They'd come from behind to win 2-1. Weren't great in that game, which would kind of maybe worry you about the odds-on price for Aston Villa. But West Ham went into that game with Paul Krug and Somerville. Both got injured, didn't they, in that game? And then against Crystal Palace the week after, I think they won, didn't they, initially in midweek against Fulham. But then at Palace, that was a real poor performance. He kind of played in a low block. Graham Potter tried to protect him, and they lost the game 2-0 and off of very little going forward. Looking at that and the lack of options West Ham have got up front, and Villa, they have got good players in attack. Watkins, Duran, Rodgers, just think they'll have too much going forward. Don't think it'll be a goal fest, though. I think West Ham will look to keep it tight like I did last week. So Villa, and under 4.5 goals is my tip, at shade of odds on.
And Graham Potter, after these probably opening 3 games of his tenure, Tom, may well be thinking, I've got a tougher task here than maybe I originally thought.
Yeah, I think he has. It's too early, really, to judge exactly how it's going to go for Potter. But they were disappointing against Palace last time out after getting that victory against Fulham. And now they're back to where it started for Potter, another away trip to Villa, as Dan mentioned. They were just edged out in the cup a couple of weeks ago. Villa coming into this one in between 2 Champions League games. They were poor against Monaco, never really looked like a threat going forward. And they'll have one eye on the game with Celtic on Wednesday as well, because they're still battling for a potential top 8 finish in Europe. So they may be a little tired, a little jaded and a little distracted, Aston Villa. So I'm more tempted to steer clear from backing them to win. As Dan mentioned, West Ham, no strikers of note at the moment. I suppose the talking point coming into the game is John Duran, with West Ham rumoured to have made that big money bid during the week to sign him from Villa. Can he have a say in the game? Spurs against Leicester from earlier on, we were talking up goals. If you're going to watch a game this weekend, this Sunday, that might be the one to look at. I can't see this one being particularly high scoring, so I've gone for under 2.5 goals and, you know, maybe a 1-0 Aston Villa.
Okay, well, last but not least, and I'll have a bit of a rant on this, a 7 p.m. kickoff on Sunday night, which I can't quite believe the Premier League have decided to do, but Craven Cottage is the venue for Fulham against Manchester United. The Cottagers are 13-10 to claim the victory, United 2-1, and the draw 12-5. I got my fingers well and truly burnt by Manchester United last week on the assist treble. Just as you think United are finding some sort of formula, Tom, and they're getting somewhere near where we think they should be, they end up capitulating at home, and Ruben Amorim turns around and says this is arguably the worst Manchester United team of the Premier League era. Was it a fair comment, and where do they go from here?
Well, I mean, in the Premier League era, yeah, you'd argue it is a fair comment. I mean, they're languishing down in 13th position in the standings, well beyond the midway point in the campaign. So this is a poor Manchester United side. We've mentioned throughout the games we've looked at that there's quite a few games that are difficult to call. I actually found this one the hardest to predict because of Manchester United. I mean, they put in some good performances and results against Arsenal and Liverpool in recent times. Then they really laboured against Southampton before losing to Brighton. You know, they seem to do better, don't they, in the bigger games against the better teams, if you like. And I'm not sure where Fulham fall in that. They're 7 points above United in the standings. So are United underdogs? Will that suit them going to Craven Cottage, where they have a really good recent record, good against Fulham in general, apart from last season's home defeat at Old Trafford when the two sides met? They've only lost, that's the only defeat they've had in the last 20 meetings between the two sides. I'm edging towards Manchester United. It may depend how they perform, what the result is against Rangers in the Europa League on Thursday night, that Battle of Britain. But I'm looking at Manchester United, the draw no bet market, just to protect yourself, because it could easily finish a draw this game. I just think United might be able to edge it. They might be able to play a little bit more counter-attacking away from home against this Fulham team than they certainly could against Brighton last weekend. So yeah, I'm edging towards United, but not with a great degree of confidence.
Dan, I was just looking at the league table earlier and saw where Fulham are and looked at the draws column, and they've had 9 draws this season. They're on 33 points, only 5 points outside of the top 5. It could have been even better for Marco Silva's men, but for a few games where maybe they've not quite taken advantage.
Yeah, I mean, there's two sides to that, isn't there? They're a hard team that, you know, to beat, keep the ball well, don't they, which helps in that. But they do probably lack, the firepower of some of the teams that are above them in the table, hence why they're struggling to turn them draws into wins. I'll just ingest here, I'd rise to the defence of the Premier League. Maybe they thought that quite a few of those Man United fans wouldn't have very far to travel back home after the game. But that's just a joke, obviously. But anyway, back to the game. I think I totally agree with Tom here. I think they've got the same bet, Man United draw no bet at 6-5. I think sometimes you can't just, you know, change your opinion, you know, based on that was a poor performance against Brighton. In truth, the performance against Southampton wasn't great as well for long periods, but that's where they're at the moment. They're inconsistent. The games against Liverpool and Arsenal away, they were very, very good. And I just feel what the price is. If they turn up here with a performance anywhere near their potential, I mentioned Fulham that they're a good side, but they're limited up front. I just think United odds against draw no bet, I think that's a decent enough price. Fulham at home, they've had a nil-nil against Southampton, 2-2 against Bournemouth, and a 2-2 against Ipswich. You know, you bear that in mind. If United turn up, every chance they'll win.
Okay, well, that is the Premier League concluded for another week. Time now to turn our attentions to the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Well, this week's EFL Match in Focus takes place on Monday evening, a massive game at Turf Moor where Burnley play host to Leeds. Burnley a 2-1 to win this game. Leeds 13-10, and it's 23-10 the draw. Third versus first, then, Dan, as far as the Championship is concerned. Two comfortable wins for both teams in midweek as well. Who do you think are in the sort of best position at the moment?
Oh, it's so tight up there, isn't it? I mean, Leeds have got the three-point gap over Burnley, you know, at the moment. But Sheffield United and Sunderland are right in there as well. It's a genuine, exciting four-team race, really, isn't it, for the title and for automatic promotion, which would be what they're, you know, they're much more interested in, these sides. Burnley, I mean, it's the best defence against the best attack, this, isn't it? Burnley have only, you know, I think conceded nine goals here. Leeds have scored 51. So, you know, you've got that going into this. I just think Burnley are unbeaten at home. They had a hell of a lot of draws in there, 7 draws, 6 wins. Mm. But I can actually see them, you know, being the likelier winners here. Odds against draw, no bet. Leeds, nowhere near as good away from home as they are at home. Like to play a lot of, you know, free-flowing, possession-based football. At Burnley, that's not an easy venue to carry that out. I think, you know, Burnley will get about and they'll make things tight. And I just think that they won 1-0 at Elland Road, didn't they, earlier in the season when they weren't anywhere near playing as well as they are now. They got a fantastic win, didn't they, midweek away to Plymouth as well, going into this game to boost their confidence. And I would take a chance on them on the draw, no bet.
Yeah, it's a huge game at the top of the table. And for the neutrals, ideally what you want, four teams battling it out for those two promotion spots at the top of the Championship table. We will now head on to Dan's treble for this weekend in the EFL selections. And who are we looking at first, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to start off in the Championship with Luton at home to Millwall. Luton, second from bottom. Matt Bloomfield's gone in there, you know, from Wickham. He's got a tough job on his hands. They got a 0-0 at home to Preston. It was, by all accounts, was a terrible game. And then they led at Oxford, I think, in the week, and then ended up losing the game 3-2. But Oxford have really improved a lot under Gary Rowett. Luton generally are a lot stronger at home. I mean, I think 22 of their 26 points they've picked up at Kenilworth Road, I think I'm right in saying. And Millwall at the moment, they've got a lot of injuries. Sold SA just before last weekend, didn't they, to Crystal Palace. So they're very limited if you look at Millwall's squad at the moment in attacking areas. They did get 2-0 in front in the week at home to Cardiff and then ended up drawing the game 2-2. But their performance didn't look great. They lost 1-0 at home to Hull last weekend as well. I think he's got a bit of a tricky situation there at the moment for Alex Neil, and I fancy Luton to beat them. I'm going to follow that up with League One. Going to go with Blackpool to win away to Exeter, just a straight win. Blackpool 4 draws in a row, but you look at some of them draws. They've got a 0-0 at Birmingham where they play really well, a 1-1 draw at Wickham, a 2-2 draw at home to Huddersfield. So they're mixing it at the moment with the top teams in the league. And against Exeter, who got 1 point from the last 4 games, that was when they got an injury time equaliser in a 1-1 at Peterborough on Tuesday. I think Blackpool can go there and win. Finally, going to go into League Two. Gillingham, draw no bet, I fancy, away to Tranmere. John Coleman's gone in at Gillingham. I really rate him as a manager. Did a fantastic job at Accrington. And I think he'll get Gillingham going. They're quite a big budget, Gillingham, in that league. First game under Coleman, a 1-0 loss at home to Doncaster. But there was much more tempo about Gillingham in that game. They played. It was an improvement on their recent performances. I think they can go to Tranmere and win. Tranmere are, you know, third from bottom at the moment. The league's lowest scorers. I think they'll be in big trouble, actually, if... I don't know if Tom will disagree with me, but I think Carlisle eventually will improve I think Tranmere could be the ones to fall in there. So Gillingham, draw no bet.
Yeah, I do think that bottom of League Two is going to be fascinating towards the end of the season. It could be a similar battle to that at the top of the Championship. So just a reminder of Dan's EFL treble for this week, Luton, Blackpool and Gillingham. And up next, we're going to get Tom into the hot seat for his bet builder. So, Tom, I think we're looking at the big game of the weekend in the Premier League, Manchester City against Chelsea. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the standout fixture. It's the one that draws the eye. And, you know, as we've spoken about when we were previewing the game a little earlier, it's a game that should feature plenty of goals. So my first line for this bet builder is both teams to find the back of the net. I mean, they're both good going forward, much better going forward than they are defensively this season. They're both averaging over 2 goals per game in the Premier League, but they've also both been conceding more than one a game on average. So that tells its own story. City, you know, with Erling Haaland, they're always liable to get a goal, even when they're struggling. And we've seen, though, against PSG in the week, how vulnerable they are defensively. You'd imagine Pep's going to chop and change a little bit again for this game. And with Chelsea scoring goals, again, they've got plenty of attacking talent within their ranks, but you know, they conceded against Wolves on Monday night. It's not convinced at all by Robert Sanchez between the sticks. I think maybe long-term Chelsea will need an upgrade there. But yeah, I'm fancying for the first leg, both teams to score. The second part of the bet builder, I'm looking at Phil Foden, who was quiet against PSG during the week, but he's found his form at last, at least in the Premier League. 5 goals in his last 3 Premier League appearances. That includes a couple of braces. We were wondering where Phil Foden was, weren't we, over the opening months of the campaign, off the back of a poor Euros as well. He was the player of the year in the Premier League last season. But he seems to be finally finding his feet, rediscovering his form, and I fancy him a decent price to get on the score sheet once again. And then the final line for the bet builder, again, it's looking at attacking elements. Cole Palmer to have over 2.5 shots in the game. He's had 77 in the Premier League this season, the most by some way of any Chelsea player. Only 3 players in the entire division have had more shots than Palmer. So I'd fancy him. He was quiet. I think he'd had a bit of illness, hadn't he, coming into the game against Wolves. And he was quiet in that game, but he still rattled off a few shots. And there were sprinklings of his brilliance, his creativity throughout that game as well. So he's, you know, rested up, got back to 100% fitness now against his former club. You think he's going to be busy?
Yeah, you would imagine that Cole Palmer could play a big part in that game on Saturday evening. Before we give you the assist treble for this week, of course, Mark normally gives us a couple of prop shop tips as well. Tom, what's your selections in terms of the prop shop?
Yeah, I've got a couple. One of those was from the City game, Phil Foden to score. I think that the form he's in the Premier League, he's a decent option to get on the score sheet against this vulnerable Chelsea backline. My other one comes from the Wolves-Arsenal game. João Gomes to have at least a couple of fouls in the match. He's committed more fouls than anyone in the Premier League this season, 4 more than anyone else, in fact. He's on 49, so he's almost getting his half century, and I think he'll definitely get that, won't he, against Arsenal. Wolves aren't he'll have to, won't he, when he picks up a yellow card maybe in the midst of that as well. But yeah, Wolves aren't going to see much of the ball, are they, against Arsenal? He's going to have to dig in, similar to what he did against Chelsea on Monday night, where he committed 4 fouls in that game. He gave away 3 against Arsenal earlier in the season. So yeah, I think it's a bit of a shoo-in almost, that he'll at least feel the wrath of the referee on a couple of occasions.
Okay, thanks very much, Tom. We will, as promised, now head to the assist treble for this weekend. Dan, we'll start off with your selection first.
Yeah, going to go with Luton home to Millwall. I mean, Luton have 6 of their 7 wins have come at home. Their only away win actually was a 1-0 win at Millwall earlier in the season. Mm. I think they'll be too strong for Millwall, who have gone 6 league games without winning, and they're certainly sliding towards trouble.
And Tom, what's your pick for the assist treble?
Yeah, I've gone with Everton double chance at Brighton, the away win or the draw. I think it's just odds against price is too good to turn down, given the inconsistencies of Brighton, and in particular the struggles they have against a team that set up defensively and set up to frustrate. And you know, Everton, good record away at Brighton, the David Moyes factor kicking in after the victory against Spurs last time out. So there's value in backing Everton.
Okay, and I'm going to go into the Championship and go with Cardiff to beat Derby, around about 23-20 at the time of recording. Only one place separating these two sides, but their form lines are very different. Cardiff are unbeaten in 7 now in all competitions, picked up 5 points in the last 3 home games, including that big win over Welsh rivals Swansea in their last home match. Derby, on the other hand, have lost their last 6, and their last win on the road came back on November the 6th. And that looks like a tricky little test on a trip to South Wales this weekend. So just to remind you, the assist treble, Cardiff, Luton and Everton double chance. And we'll conclude this week's show with the naps from Dan and Tom. And Dan, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, Gillingham drawn, I bet, away to Tranmere in League 2. I mean, Gillingham at the moment, They're 12 points off of seventh, but given how positive John Coleman is, I think he'll still be even eyeing up a push towards those playoffs. I beat Tranmere 3-0 at home earlier in the season, and I think they'll be too strong for Tranmere at Prenton Park.
And Tom, what's your nap for this week?
Yeah, I've gone with Liverpool to beat Ipswich in the Premier League and under 3.5 goals in the match. Liverpool grinding out results at the moment, you know, not blowing teams away, particularly Anfield. Ipswich, off the back of that heavy defeat to Manchester City last weekend, I think they'll tighten things up. They'll look to frustrate and they might well achieve that for the bulk of the game. Eventually, though, Liverpool, you'd imagine, will find a way through. So, yeah, a low-scoring Liverpool victory, go with them to win and under 3.5 goals.
Okay, well, thanks very much to both Dan and Tom for all their efforts this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. We like seeing your views on our assist shows. And if you like your golf, of course, don't forget to join Steve Palmer for the Sweet Spot every Tuesday. We'll be back with another assist special on Monday for the final round of the Champions League format. But in the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.